The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You know, it's really amazing how many people are living in a constant state of overload. Do you say things like, I can't do this much longer? Well, it may be the way of our culture, but that doesn't mean you have to live that way. In my new book, Overload, I'll show you that you don't have to live every day stressed out and overwhelmed. Remember, God doesn't always want to change everything around you. He wants to change you. Get your copy of my book, Overload, today. Only things that are hidden have power over you. When you bring them out in the open, they lose their power. Finding freedom through facing truth. We all want to be free, but we're not all really great at facing truth. I know it took me a while, and sometimes I still have to have God show me something several different ways before I finally get it. Truth is the way things really are, not the way we think they are, or the way we would like them to be, or the way that we wish that they were. Truth, I think we might say, is reality from God's point of view. Truth is a central theme in the Word of God. Jesus is the truth. The Bible says that He is the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says that we, the children of God, are those who belong to the truth. Psalm 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test my heart and my mind. Now, I think that would be just a good place for us to start. And so we're going to pray that if you really want it. Now, if you don't want it, please don't pray the prayer. Because this is not fun and games here tonight. The Holy Spirit's here. He hears what we're doing. And if you're going to open your mouth and say this, then I'm going to tell you that God is going to begin to do what we ask Him to do. And there's no running after this. So how many of you want to pray this with me? All right. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would examine us, prove us, and test us, and that your Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. Amen. Awesome. Then Lamentations 3:40 says, let us test and examine our ways and let us return to the Lord. So we always have an opportunity to repent, to see where maybe we've missed it or to see where maybe we have gotten weak and to return to the Lord. We don't examine ourselves unto condemnation. We do it so we can make progress, so we can see weak areas in our life or areas maybe where we've just began to slide a little bit. How many of you noticed that, you know, there's a lot to keep up with as a Christian? And so we need these messages because sometimes we'll get a little loose mouth disease, and so we need somebody to come along and give us a good message again on the power of words. And it's like, it's not like we didn't know it, but boy, did we need to hear that. And that's kind of the way I feel about my preaching here this weekend. I just feel like that God just said, remind people what sin is. And it's not what the world says it is. It's what God says it is. It's not what television says it is. It's what God says it is. Amen? And sometimes it's not even what other Christians say it is. I found out that I can't just do what all other preachers do or what all other Christians do because sometimes they're not doing what they should be doing. So each one of us is going to give an account to God of ourselves and for our own actions. Every person is going to stand before God and give an account of himself. Last night I called the message Preparing for Christ's Return. And one of the reasons why I feel it's urgent for me to do this and to begin to work a little more of this stuff into some of my messages, not that I've ever really shied too much off from doing it anyway, but I believe there is a greater possibility now than at any other time that Christ could return during our lifetime. Now, I know that every generation has believed that, but if they believed they were in the last days back in the Bible, surely we are in the laster of the last days than they were. And I don't, you know, I'm not concerned about it because I believe that I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to be able to stand before God and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want the people that I teach to be able to do that too. And if they don't, it's not going to be because I didn't teach them. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Now this is speaking about receiving communion or the Lord's cup. "Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Now, that's another whole doctrinal teaching I won't get into, except just to say that we need to be serious enough about our relationship with God. And today we live in a casual society, and it's easy to get a casual relationship with God. But we need to have reverential fear and awe. And so the Bible is basically saying this thing about receiving the Lord's body and receiving his blood to receiving the bread and the cup is so divine, it's so holy, it's so precious that we dare not just rush in to do that with all kinds of sin in our life. We need to examine ourselves first, ask God to forgive us, and then receive of his body and blood. And that takes some examination. When Dave and I were in the Lutheran church for many years, where I got a great foundation about salvation through grace, if we wanted to receive communion, we had to get to church early and go back to the office, and you had to announce that you wanted to take communion. You couldn't just go do it. You had to announce, and they wanted to make sure that they knew who you were, because they were so serious about it. They didn't want to give communion to just anybody who just wanted to take it, because they took this scripture seriously. And I don't know what you think, but I think there's a lot of scriptures that we need to take more seriously than what we do. And be careful that we don't just have a "God's my buddy" attitude. He is our friend. And sometimes in my morning prayer time, I'll tell Jesus, "You're my BFF, my best friend forever." But I don't mean it irreverently. I also have reverential fear and awe of God, that I know he's God and I know he's holy. And I don't believe that I dare stand up here and try to do what I'm doing if I've got a bunch of hidden junk in my life and I'm not really letting God lead me and guide me into truth every day of my life. Amen. You know, as I look out here and especially think about all the people watching by television, you know, I believe that one of my assignments from God is to help people enter into a deeper walk with God. And one of the things that I ask people many times who come to my conferences, I'll ask sometimes, "Well, how many of you received Christ through watching the program?" Hands go up, you know. And then when I say, "How many of you have gotten a lot more serious about your walk with God through watching the program?" Lots more hands go up for that. And you know what? I'm just as excited about that. I mean, I'm glad when people are saved, but I don't want people to be saved and be miserable. I believe that one of my assignments is to help people know how to receive everything that Jesus died to give them and to live the wonderful life of righteousness, peace, and joy that he died for us to have. And so I'm just telling you, there is much more for you in a walk with God than just showing up at some church once a week, sleeping through a 45-minute service, and thinking you put your time in with God. Amen? It's about a lifestyle. We serve God with a lifestyle. He is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth and reality. 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged in penalty decreed by the divine judgment." I'm going to read this again. "For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we would not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. Now, I will tell you, I don't believe that we need to go around and be sin conscious all the time. I believe that we need to be God conscious. But I do believe that it's good for all of us to just take a little time, possibly even once a week or at the end of each day, 5 minutes, and just have a little short meeting with yourself. Some of you need to make an appointment with yourself because you haven't spent any time with yourself in a long time. Matter of fact, you've gotten really good at staying so busy that you've become an expert at running from yourself. Isn't it true? We can just stay so busy that we don't have time to deal with anything. We can even be so busy working for God that we can't hear anything God says. Galatians 6:4. Last one. But let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work, and he can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. Now, Satan is the deceiver. Jesus comes full of grace and truth, but Satan is the deceiver, and to be deceived means to believe a lie. To be set free means to believe the truth. It's just that simple. Deception is Satan's entrance into our lives. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, we're not going to have to turn there, but it says, those who did evil did not welcome the truth, but they refused to love it. Wonder how many people are just so deeply mired in sin and doing all kinds of wretched things. And nobody's going to tell me that God hasn't tried at some point to get to them, and at some point they had to turn away from truth and decide to go their own way. Now, we're going to talk for a minute about David and Bathsheba and Uriah. And many times when we hear about David, it's only David and Bathsheba. David sinned with Bathsheba. But I'm going to show you tonight from Scripture that God himself says that what David did to Uriah was much worse. Because that was a planned deception and a cover-up. What he did with Bathsheba was a lustful temptation that he acted on in a moment of time. Wrong, yes. But the thing with Uriah took time to work out. It took time to accomplish that. And David had to willfully and purposely not listen to God in that situation. And so his sin with Bathsheba was wrong, but covering up his sin, come on now, this is good. Covering up his sin was worse than the sin. So are you hearing me? So sin is, yes, wrong, but it's the cover up of our sin that's even worse. Adam and Eve sinned, but their bigger mistake was they tried to cover themselves with leaves. Didn't work. God had to cover them with animal skins, and in order to get those animal skins, animals had to die, blood had to be shed. Come on, there's a message all the way in the garden. You can't cover your sins. Only the blood can cover us and cleanse us and wash us. But as long as we're trying to cover it up, and then even worse, they hid from God. And so here I believe we have the value of confessing our sins. I don't personally think that we have to mention every sin to God, or otherwise if we don't, it's not going to be forgiven. Jesus died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And my sins that I've not even committed yet are already paid for. And all I need to do is receive that forgiveness, be washed. But I can't receive forgiveness from something that I'm ignoring. Amen? Now listen to what I'm going to say. All sin can be forgiven, but it cannot be ignored. Amen. All sin can be forgiven, but it cannot be ignored. And so it frightens me sometimes when I think about the things that could be in my life that I'm not even seeing. And I know that God covers us and we're not responsible in many ways for what we don't know, but I don't want to not know because God tried to tell me and I wouldn't listen. I want to be sensitive to the touch of the Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to the touch of God. If I'm being rude to somebody, I want to know it right away. If I'm mistreating somebody, I want to know it right away. I want to sense that conviction from God. If I'm about to tell a lie, my gosh, I lied to somebody last year. I couldn't believe that I did it. I lied. It took me a couple days later, God said, "You lied." I'm like, I lied. I've been preaching for 39 years, and I lied. Well, you know what? It wasn't good, but the thing that's freeing is I can stand here and tell you. My salvation is not based on that, and it has no hold over me because I have faced the truth and brought it out in the open. Only things that are hidden have power over you. When you bring them out in the open, they lose their power. Amen? You can't hide. You can't cover up and hide because what we hide torments us. We live our whole life in fear that someone is going to find out. So I believe that confession is so valuable to me because it gets things out in the open. I remember one time when I was praying, "Oh, God, forgive me, I missed it." And the actual definition of sin does mean to miss the mark, but we need to call it what it is. It's sin. And I said, "Oh, God, forgive me, I missed it." And I heard the Lord say, "Missed what? What did you do?" "Well, Lord, you know what I did." And I heard him say, "I want to hear you say it." Because you know what? I missed it sounds sweet. But to say, and this was what I was dealing with, okay, I was jealous of my friend's blessing. Gosh, that hurt. Saying I missed it didn't hurt. I didn't feel that. Even to say forgive my sins didn't hurt too much. I'm used to that. But to say forgive me for being jealous of my friend, oh my gosh, now that hurts me. Because I should know better than that. I'm so blessed in my life. So then when I call it what it is, here's what happens. Then I can truly repent. Come on now. If I call it what it is, God doesn't want me just to examine myself and face truth so I can spit out every awful thing that I do. But he wants everything between us to be clear and clean and free. And he doesn't want us to live even out in our lives with the fear all the time of being found out. And that's why sometimes it's even good to confess our faults to one another. Have a trusted friend or a spouse that if you're really got a bondage hanging on to you, sometimes it can be broken just by going to somebody else and saying, "Listen, I am having a problem with this. And I don't seem to be able to get free from it. And so I'm confessing it to you and asking you to pray with me." Now, there's a little embarrassment in that, but it breaks some things off of our flesh and sets us free. Amen? Y'all getting this?
Freedom, the word we all use when we find a place of peace. Since the age of 3, Jamie Moore's freedom derived from music and motion.
Every time I danced, that was my opportunity to shine.
And for a time, that was enough to help Jamie escape her anger.
She always knew she had a bad temper, but she figured she had a good reason, namely her mother, Janet.
You know, it was a constant battle. Whatever I said, she wouldn't listen. She would just do the opposite.
Almost every conversation she tried to initiate turned into a fight, because in my mind, she was correcting me.
Despite the turmoil, Janet was always looking for ways to solve her daughter's problems. She had no idea why she was so angry. But Jamie says sometimes all she wanted was a hug.
I remember she just blurted out to me, she says, "Mom, I never felt any love from you. All I felt was condemnation and criticism."
That freedom that came from dancing could only last so long. After Jamie's first child was born, she was diagnosed with postpartum depression and suffered a nervous breakdown. After her second child, postpartum psychosis. Through the next few years, she suffered through more breakdowns and received several more diagnoses. Today, Jamie realizes much of it stemmed from sexual abuse she suffered as a child. She never told anyone.
I must have been 4 or 5. My mom had a home-based business where she would go into other homes and sell products. And she was doing her presentation and then had left me playing, I guess, just on my own. Well, at this particular home, there was a boy, and he then would, you know, touch me in the inappropriate places.
Janet
was my way to say, "I can help my daughter," or actually, "The Lord can help my daughter."
His word is so powerful, and it definitely does help me with a lot of my worries and anxieties, and to bring me to the point of peace and a lot of different promises that he has for me.
It took time. But through studying God's word and counseling, Jamie is healing from the scars of abuse and overcoming the effects of hiding the pain. Jamie hasn't suffered any breakdowns for years, and today she owns her own dance studio.
And now I know that freedom comes with him, and so dance is now just a tool that God is using for me to try to reach others. I am constantly either watching Joyce's podcast or watching messages online, or I'm in my word. I'm in the word and holding on to God's promises. Truth is so powerful to me, and I just need that constant reminder of how it does bring life and joy, and it can give me the peace that I have.
Through this healing process, both mother and daughter have developed a strong relationship with Christ and each other.
We enjoy each other's company now. We have something in common to talk about, and it's God, it's the Lord.
She's becoming a better listener, definitely more patient, and just being a listening ear, that type of comfort that I've wanted.
Janet became a partner with Joyce Meyer Ministries when she saw how God's word through the teaching helped Jamie find true freedom in Christ. She wants to be part of helping other families discover peace beyond all understanding.
How can you put a price on something that you can't hold or touch, but yet it gives you so much love, peace, joy?
The past wounds between this mother and daughter continue to heal, and today their peace flows far beyond the boundaries of the dance floor.
Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "Our secrets make us sick." You know, it's only things that stay hidden that have power over us. When we bring them out into the open, they lose their power. Today we're offering you 3 hours of teaching called "Say Goodbye to Guilt." And there's a lot of you watching that I believe really need to do that. And when you say that, you need to mean it. God doesn't want you living full of guilt all the time. He forgives our sins and iniquities, and He removes the guilt, the Bible says. And then we're also offering you a paperback book to go along with that today called "What Are You Going to Believe?"
I think that's an interesting question. What are you going to believe? You know, you choose what you're going to believe. And I'm really encouraging you to believe the Word of God over your feelings and emotions. I think these resources are really going to help you. And I encourage you, as you get your resources today, to add an offering to help us with the TV outreach ministry. I hope and pray that you enjoy the program that you watch. And it's so beneficial to all of us if you help by giving back into the ministry. That way we're sharing together. I'm sowing into your life. You're sowing into ours. Thank you so much for watching today. I pray that you receive some real help from the Word of God.
Today we're offering Joyce's book, What Are You Going to Believe? The truth is, when you believe the wrong things about your life, you'll go in the wrong direction. But when you begin to think and believe what God says about you, you'll experience new levels of victory.
And be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold.
This will equip you to think it, say it, and believe it. We're also offering three teachings on CD called Say Goodbye to Guilt. Guilt causes you to feel hopeless and defeated. With this teaching, Joyce gives you the tools to conquer guilt and identify common deceptions that hinder progress. These important resources will help you focus and are available for a donation of $25 or more. Contact us today. Call 1-800-727-9673. Or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
You are valuable. You are valuable. You are a valuable asset to God. He created you with His own hand. He has a plan for you and a purpose for you, and you are worth taking care of.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.